might have to be put, that date may have to be pushed back, but as of right now, it's October 25th is what we're working towards.
And is there a place that people can go to find out more or watch it when it's released?
Oh, absolutely. Eventually, I will post the film onto my YouTube channel, Fedora Films, on YouTube, obviously. And the project, although, will also be, I will be submitting it to several film festivals here on the West Coast, including Screamfest down in Los Angeles, the Seattle Horror Film Festival, and the Portland Film Festival here, as well as a few other film festivals around the West Coast.
Excellent. Well, thank you for so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure interviewing you.
I'm really honored for the opportunity I had to come in here and to share more about this project with you guys. This project means a lot to me. I've been a huge fan of the Slender Man mythos and the character for since at least 2010, 2011, and since the almost the very beginnings of the character. And I really wanted to have the opportunity to kind of create a project that really was an homage to the fandom of this, you know, really iconic character. And as you've noted to me previously, you know, you thought about how Slender Man has kind of not gotten a good rap since he came on the scene, and he kind of had his heyday. But you know, as far as on the big screen, he didn't really have a lot of people would agree that he didn't really have a really good go. And so I wanted to make just a short and sweet project that really paid homage to the great myth. And so hopefully that this project, The Tall Gentleman, is able to do that.
For the KBOO.
I'm Naomi Klein, and you are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The nominating committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Support for KBOO comes from our members and from the Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition, presenting their Dance for a Cause event in support of immigrant justice. The event is on Sunday, August 10th from 4 to 10 p.m. at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center and will feature a lineup of four bands and a DJ. Tickets and info at pircoregon.org.
Oh, You're listening to Rose City Native Radio, Low Res Edition. Stick with us as we play you music, throwback interviews, and more. Stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask, and we'll see you on the other side, Indian Country.
Save the river, save the seas, save the mother and her family. Can you take what you want and say that we are free? If you put oil in the water, we won't sit quietly. And they were singing, stand up, stand up for what's right. Don't walk silently to the night. Take my hand and we'll see us through. If you fight for me, I'll fight for you. Save the people who are in need. How can you do what you want and say you come in peace? If you don't open your eyes, how can you see? And we were cheering, stand up, stand. You. Don't look down.
la good. Aya, 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 lakhu mashut malinga skruki ilaku khashruki ayya 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 ay yusakh kam nun chat mun ye ehe Bim chao ta ya kuchtu ra kham ki Ungu ba kham thun Mani nun nami Tait shri ka khuch Aya 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 ha aya ha ay Yusak kham thun Sot mun Ye e khe e
We're trying something new for the show. We're going to be highlighting various Native histories throughout Turtle Island. And so to start us off, tonight is a brief history of Native California brought to you by the Humboldt County Place-Based Learning Communities.
For California Indian history specifically, I think it's important for people to know that California has always been a populous place. It's home right now to 109 to 111 tribes, but back then you're talking about tribes everywhere. No empty space of wilderness that exists in this place that we currently call California. The way you know that there were California Indians everywhere is that every place had a name. There was not a mountain or a field or a region that there wasn't a tribe who had already named it. For the sciences, I think that the land bridge theory has always been sort of a first point of knowledge about Native people. But there have been new studies that have shown that there were humans in this side of the Americas over 100,000 years ago, which would mean that that is around the same amount of time in which they say people were sort of first leaving Africa. And so we are asking people to complicate how they understand who we are as Indigenous peoples here. What we say is we're from this place.
And that's a real and true belief that we have. We are a part of the land, and the land is us, and we didn't migrate from some other place. We've always been there.
We've always been a part of our land, and not above it, not below it, but equal to, and we have our role. Our roles come from that engagement and come from seeing what needs to be done to make things the best way that they can be.
So all of this is very important for people to understand, because I think sometimes they think Californian people are here, but they're not really doing much with the space. There's so much evidence of like agriculture. There's evidence of large areas in which they're tending to. There's evidence of ways in which they're shaping what we now think of the natural landscape. And then colonization happens. Most California scholars, they call it invasion. So we're being invaded.
When Cabrillo was first on one of his ships in 1500s, burning of the land is what actually gave away people on that land. That was like the first thing that, you know, colonizers saw was our traditional burnings of the lands.
You're talking about three waves of destruction. From the start of these waves, there's not really a time period in which California Indians can recover from what's happening to them. So the first wave of destruction is the Spanish mission system. They build the first mission in San Diego. There's 21 missions that they build in total. This is Father Junipero Serra. And they're bringing people into the missions in the hopes that they can create this labor force to be able to establish this extension of Spain. The mission system is effectively an enslavement system of California Indian people. The missionaries bring along with them Spanish soldiers. The soldiers are written about in these records as being perpetrators of sexual violence, not only against women, but also children. Junipero Serra actually talks about that in his journals. He's like, they are sexually assaulting women and children in front of people. And when people try to stop them, they get shot. I mean, it's a very violent type of situation. The mission system sort of stops around San Francisco. And so up here in Northern California, what they say about us is we were contacted relatively late in the sort of colonization cycle. We had contact with some explorers who had come through, people that were looking mostly for gold. And at a point, they find gold. And this is where you get these sort of like massive influx of the gold rush.
And it just came like overnight, and it came in hard. And life just changed drastically and just immediately in a lot of ways for California people.
They're not here so that they can set up a colony or so that they can establish a labor force. They want gold. They will kill whoever is in the way. They will take apart whatever needs to be taken apart. They'll do whatever it takes. The thing about the gold rush that people don't think about is that it was actually an environmental destruction as well. And then on top of that, they are setting up a political system and a state system of laws and governance that will legalize the genocide that they want to commit against California Indian people.
Our first lieutenant governor, Peter Burnett, saw this huge population of Indians in the state. And so he's the one that, you know, charged the war of extermination on the California Indians. And we lost, you know, probably around 80% of our total population in just a short period of years.
The early settlers wanted the resources. They wanted what would make them rich faster. But instead of asking the tribe to help them or assist them, they said, well, since the tribe probably won't just give it to us, we're just going to wipe them out, we're going to massacre them, we're going to take everything for ourselves.
Each each region of California is allowed to set their own sort of, what are we gonna pay for a scalp or a head? But when you look at advertisements, what you see is that they're advertising them at things like $5 a head and 25 cents per scalp. The first year that they do this, they pay $1 million. The state of California says that it has paid $1 million for killing Indian people. The second year they do it, it's $1 million. In this region, every single tribe in this region would have some kind of stories about the violence that came out of the gold rush. My great-grandfather, you know, his family is from Caddo country. His great-uncle had, his mom had lived through the gold rush, and he was born sort of like at the tail end of this period of time. And he would always say to my mother, you know, remember, granddaughter, you're here because some miner was a bad shot. Like, that's how close it is to who we are.
When modern contact, we had to forget about all our relations. We had to forget about all the sciences. We had to forget about all the philosophies. We had to forget about everything that was ingrained from us for thousands of years to a shattered existence.
Take your kids from your family and take them to boarding schools and assimilate you. You were not to practice your cultures. You're not to practice your traditions. You're supposed to practice, you know, I hate to say it this way, the white man's religion. We're going to Christianize you. You're going to follow our God.
I know that I'm a product of forced assimilation. I know I was stripped of some of the smartest information a human being could have. And I know I don't have that now. But I know it's attainable over time. And we're on the right path.
There's all these great moments of Native people making sure that they were trying to hold on to things, like fighting back and making plans for the future. It's palpable in Humboldt County.
The Native American community, and especially the Wiyots and the surrounding tribes, were put through a lot. It wasn't just the Wiyots, it was Hurok, Hoopa, you know, we were all put through a lot during the early years. Here we are, we're growing. We're becoming a stronger nations. We're working together with each other to create a positive thing. And not only us working with each other's sister tribes, we're working with the cities, the governments that surround us, the schools, HSU, to make this more positive.
Humboldt State University is within the Aboriginal territory of the Wiyot people. And then we have several other large tribes around here, the three largest in California, the Karuk, the Yurok, and the Hoopa. So being that we are in the backyard of three of the largest tribes, we can draw off and partner with some of our local tribes to bring that extra educational component to our STEM and natural resource students. Here at the Indian Natural Resource Science and Engineering Program and Diversity in STEM, we go by Intercept Plus. Our services generally provide navigational suggestions to students, assisting them navigate the College of Natural Resources and Sciences. We often are enriching that experience with extracurricular activities coming from an Indigenous perspective. So bringing up our ancestors' practices and techniques of managing landscapes, melding them or braiding them in with the scientific method and innovative technologies.
In Native Studies, we're doing a sort of broad spectrum of what it's like to learn from Indigenous peoples and cultures and knowledges so that we can build a better world, build a better way of knowing.
It's about how we learn with and from Native people instead of disciplines historically that have focused on the study of Native American people.
My paternal grandmother was one of the founders of the Indian Tribal Education Personnel Program, ITEP, back in the late 60s and early 70s. Her and a bunch of other mothers and grandmothers, they were the ones that kind of started a lot of our other community programs, our healthcare programs, our education programs. I always think it's a pretty amazing story because a lot of those women, her included, had attended boarding schools. And for those women to come back from that and still understand that we needed health and we needed education and we needed a strong community.
When you talk about the Indian Tribal Educational Personnel Program and United Indian Health Services having these women with moxie, they come from a generation of women who have been having to just hold that strength for such a long time. And part of the work as tribal people is how do we go back and tap into that, because that's always there. We come from a long line of those folks who are moving forward and have had to keep their dignity, keep their pride, and although it hurts, we're still doing that work. That's what I try to tap in for the young people, tribal people in particular, but also for non-Indian students to hear that too, that it's not all historical trauma and then we're gone. No, it's historical trauma, we're still here and we're not going anywhere. We're still learning, we're still enduring.
Tiny feet roam, all the things you have done on top of being a wife, a mother, a daughter, a home. What have you seen in your short long life? What has your heart overcome? The traditional ways that are hidden away can be revived by the beat of a drum. What have you seen in your short long life? What did those tiny hands, what did those tiny hands, stretching, scraping, fixing, and making, mending the skins that our souls fit within, stitching, nothing can undo. Silence your voice. The stories they spun made you swallow your tongue, made you feel like it was your choice. Yeah, 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 yeah.
tax man at the door, telling me I gotta pay, telling me I gotta pay, telling me I gotta pay. And banker man, banker man, banker man has the deed to the land, the deed to the land, the deed to the land.
Super Indian, moccasin minute. Boss Lady Lena Marie sits in her huge office overlooking the Leaning Oak Bingo Hall.
I'd better turn on the radio. My new spot is on at the top of the hour.
Yellowhammer, good one. I'm Chester Logan on KOAK AM, the voice of the Leaning Oak Reservation. We have a brand new segment for you.
Oh, goody.
Which gaming boss used tribal funds to travel to Beverly Hills for some reservation dermabrasion and a tribal tummy tuck?
Whoa.
None other than Lena Marie.
What?
I'm Vivian Hardy with your moccasin minute. And now the weather.
Vivian! that New Age wannabe? Hubert! Get in here!
It's time for Super Indian! Hubert Logan's secret identity is known only to a trusted few.
Hubert! What idiot hired Vivian Hardy?
My Uncle Chester.
Well, I'm gonna whoop him!
Dang, yeah, I'd better warn him.
Hubert gathers his sidekick, Mega Bear, and Dioji as Chester Logan continues his broadcast.
The Moccasin Minute is a hit. Just listen to those phones. Here's one more from Yellowhammer.
Oh, Chester, it's Lena Marie. Don't let that downer in here.
Ah, Vivian, stop being paranoid.
Oh, that heifer shut down my New Age bookstore.
That's because you sold sacred items and weird rocks. Answer one of those phone lines, please, Vivian.
This is Vivian Hardy.
Hello, Vivian.
Wampa, my wicked overlord. The mystic crystals of Malibu you enchanted will take down the man.
Oh, Vivian, when I get through with you!
Well, if it isn't loudmouth Elena. These crystals reveal your deepest, darkest secrets. Tell me.
Hubert Logan has a secret identity.
Vivian, what are you doing?
Chester, what are your secrets? Tell me.
I have a library book that's 5 years overdue.
Unbeknownst to Vivian, Super Indian, Mega Bear, and Dioji hide behind the studio door.
Hubert, you were right. There is something funny going on here.
Yeah, I knew there was trouble.
Holy New Age fraud.
Mega Bear, the mystic crystals of Malibu.
Oh, wow. They sparkle like the Fortress of Solitude.
Dioji, Mega Bear, we have to stop Vivian.
Yep.
Miss Hardy, release those crystals and we release...
We're live on KOAK-AM radio. Super Indian, do you have a secret?
Shades of a shady shaman. Mega Bear, turn off the radio microphone.
Got it, Super Dude.
Give me those crystals, Miss Hardy.
No!
These rocks are no match for my super strength.
Crushed with this bare hands. All my power gone, except for this.
Not since the summer of love has there been such a light show.
A talking res dog we reach, brother.
Whoa, Dioji sounds like that guy on Frasier.
You can hear me, Mega Bear? Vivian's shamanic humming has temporarily transformed my ordinary yips into audible speech that others besides Super Indian can comprehend.
Suddenly, the disembodied head of Wampum Bags appears above the broken crystals.
Never send a hippie to do an evil villain's job.
Wampum Bags, I should have known. Mega Bear and I will take everyone to safety. Dioji, finish the broadcast.
With pleasure. You are tuned to 50,000 watts of reservation power on KOAKAM. Remember this hit from the Intergalactic Toaster Experience?
Super Indian and Mega Bear help Chester, Lena, Vivian exit the radio station, where they are greeted by an excited crowd and the tribal police.
Hey, look, it's Super Indian.
Hey, who's doing the broadcast? They have a really good radio voice.
That's an old demo tape I found. Somebody named D.O.G.
Doesn't that spell dog?
Join us next time for another episode of Super Indian.
Super Indian.
A Native Voices at the Autry production.
Legislation's on the desk of a do-right congressman. Now he don't know much about the issue, so he picks up the phone and he asks advice of the senator out in Indian country, a darling of the energy companies who are ripping off what's left of the reservations. I learned a safety rule. I don't know who to thank. Don't stand between the reservation and the corporate bank. They'll send in federal tanks. It isn't nice, but it's reality. Bury my heart in Wounded Knee, deep in the earth. who want the land, and they've got churches by the dozens want to guide our hand and sign our Mother Earth over to pollution, war, and greed.
Get this quick!
Bury my
Cover me with pretty lies.
Cover me,
spare me.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You can find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio. For music, events, and more, you can find us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. As always, wash your hands, wear a mask. We'll get through this together, Indian Country. See you next week. To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land. This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492. To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today, to the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way, to those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people, to those who left their communities by force or by choice and for generations no longer know who they are, to those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside keeping touch, the voice for many. To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth, to those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own. To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other. To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better. To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty. To the young, the old, the living, and the dead, to our brothers and sisters and all living things across Mother Earth, and her beauty we've destroyed and denied the honor that the Creator has given each individual. The truth that lies in our hearts, all my relations.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness.